Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I know that we are going to have a fascinating show for you today. We're actually recording this during the month of April, which is both National Sexual Assault Awareness Month and National Child Abuse Awareness Month. And those are some really tough topics. And I'm aware of that, but I'm also aware that those are topics that we need to respond to as believers. My guest today is Shannon McGraw, and she's an author, a speaker, a mental health support specialist, a life coach, and a ministry leader. But she's also someone who has real life experience with these tough topics. Shannon, I want to welcome you today to the Family Matters podcast.
Thank you so much, Marty. It's a blessing to be a part of this.
Well, we are very thankful to have you here. And I'm sitting here looking at your newest book, which is called Reclaimed. And a lot of times we tend to think of the subtitle as a throwaway, but in this case, that is so not true. The subtitle of your book is Overcome Trauma and Gain Healthy Control of Your Life. It seems like every day, and working in media, I'm seeing new statistics about how the pandemic has caused trauma in different areas of family life. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we started this series on Charisma News. But in your own life, you weren't exactly a stranger to trauma when 2020 got going and the whole pandemic thing hit us, were you?
No, unfortunately, I was not. And, you know, for me, the pandemic, after coming off of even the last 5 years of going through various types of trauma, I know we started this by, you know, this month is Sexual Assault Awareness and Child Abuse Prevention Month. But I've also been recently through cancer, through Hurricane Harvey flooding my home, and, you know, all other things. So there's all kinds of traumas that can affect us. And then when we get stuck and we, you know, are stuck in our homes and we have nowhere else to go, sometimes it's hard if we've not gone through a major situation without allowing to know, you know, that God has us in all ways. It can be very difficult. But for me, I will say that I was like, okay, well, what is this opportunity, Lord? And I took that opportunity and finally finished writing this book, because I just knew that there would be so many that would be stuck. And that meant stuck with their feelings, stuck with their, you know, their past, stuck with whatever it has been going on within their marriages or whatever relationships, and not knowing how to better themselves and move forward. And so that's why I even decided to go ahead and write Reclaimed.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And as I was reading through this, it's, I don't know how others describe it, but I almost described it as therapy in a book. Not that it would take the place of professional counseling, but there is a lot in here. There are a lot of pages in here where I felt like I was kind of sitting with you as my therapist. Was that intentional on your part, or it just came out because that's who you are?
I so appreciate that. I can't say it was intentional, because my intention really was for this to be, for it to be able to be used in therapy. Okay. You know, I am not a licensed therapist. I am a mental health peer support specialist, mm-hmm. because I have been through, you know, I am an incest survivor and I'm a rape survivor, and I've been through various types of abuses. So there's a difference when you work with somebody as peer. And I have many therapists send people to me because, you know, they know that that's how I work with them, is I know exactly what you're feeling. I know the triggers and I know that fear that can come from that. But in my sense, you know, I work with God and faith and coming out of that darkness as I go into this book and into that light, and being able to say, you know, you deserve being able to better yourself, to heal from what has been done to you in the past. And you can only truly do that unless you have the proper tools. And so this is one tool to put in that toolbox. But there are so many that I highly encourage. And I talk about that throughout the book is, you know, I think in some of my reflections, I say, write this down. And if you're in therapy, please go over this with your therapist. It's just so important.
Exactly. Now for you, you mentioned about the recent trauma and Hurricane, any one of those things, we could spend the whole podcast talking about being rescued from the rooftop of your house. But do you think that what you had gone through in the past prepared you for the more recent trauma, or are they so different that there really wasn't a relationship?
You know, I do believe what I went through in the past prepared me to go through anything that will come forward for me. And I'm only in my late 40s. So unfortunately, I'm certain that there might be some other obstacles that come across in my path, because that is how the world is, right? Until I can meet God
in
heaven.
It's a fallen world.
It is. And I know that. And so that is why, and that's another point of this book. If there's a point where there has been something coming forward, bubbling up from your past or a situation that you're in. Even I try to talk about the trauma of being in a sickness, you know, something that can't be, you know, prevented, but you do need to move forward. You know, what are the steps that you're going to take to move forward? And what is your part in recognizing your worth and getting through it and moving forward with God and to see what He has planned for you, you know, in your life? And a lot of that is getting past that anger, that frustration, that unforgiveness, even that pity, that self-pity. You know, what are the steps that we need to do to move forward out of any traumatic situation? And for me, in these instances, I'll never forget, and I wasn't rescued from the roof. I was rescued from the home. It was up to my waist, okay. But on a boat. And I'll never forget being dropped, you know, on dry land, and then just kind of having this peace settle over me. And that's how I always know that God is there, even in the midst of chaos, is that you have this sudden sense of peace in knowing He has you. And that is what I have gotten from all my past issues and recovering and healing journey, is consistently looking for that peace of the Lord.
I love that so much. And I was thinking about, and as you said, we all have different traumas. There's all sorts and I think now we've become more sensitized to realizing, not always, but realizing that things maybe we didn't call trauma in the past actually were trauma or actually are trauma now. But what do you see for, since we're speaking specifically to families or, you know, probably parents and other family members with this podcast, what kind of takeaways from your own journey and from your book Reclaimed would you say are there for families? We don't want to see anyone go through trauma, but yet, as you said, life is full of trauma. So what's the best thing you think you can offer to families out of your own journey?
Mm-hmm. You know, I so appreciate this question, because even though it might be one family member that's going through whatever that trauma is, let's say it's past memories from past child abuse, or even if it's going through a cancer diagnosis. I mean, those are two very far different things, but it's still a very traumatic experience for either one of them. And so the family is a core. This is about, you know, being able to understand this is a journey that they're about to go on, and to be able to understand what that journey is, to understand, you know, the pain that will come from that. A lot of times, especially for those that have been abused and trying to work through that, they have put it off for so long, or they've not ever dealt with what's been done in their childhood or the past, because so many people have been neglected. This isn't even just, you know, physical or sexual abuse. This could be neglect. This could be emotional abuse that has truly affected them. And they've never really worked through that or gone through it in 20, 30, 40 years of their life. because they've never wanted to work through the pain of it. If they have to bring it back up, that means they have to bring up what it made them feel in that pain. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a support system around you, your spouse, you know, your good friend, your brother, your sister, whatever that support system is, to understand that, look, I'm about to walk through something that's going to be very painful, very hard for me. I might be very irritable. I'm going to be triggered. I'm going to, you know, for them to understand these words even would be so important. I know for me, it would have been so helpful in my past, to be honest with you, for more people to be in my family, in my core group, to be informed of what it is, this process is of healing and going through that pain and being able to move beyond it. And then recognizing that, hey, I mean, that means I can change behaviors. That means that my reactions and responses to certain aspects of life can actually get better, but accept that they are going to get better. You know, I don't know if I'm making sense, but sometimes when I began to become even a better person, better Christian, it was almost like, you know, someone very close to me wouldn't accept it. Well, I just know you're going to behave this way, or I know you're going to act this way. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Accept my change, you know?
I can really identify with the talking about how certain situations trigger you and what your behavior might be, but then that can change over time. I know I had a coworker at one point who had experienced a similar trauma to my own, and it was so helpful for us to be able to say, ooh, that is a trigger for me. And then we would just know to kind of back off and not have unrealistic expectations that someone who hasn't been in those shoes or doesn't know that language, as you said, would not understand. So
right.
One of the things that I also appreciated about your book was that you shared real life stories from your own and then some from other people. You know, it's always good. We love to read the scriptures, and you have a lot of that in your book as well. But sometimes it helps us just to know, hey, there's another real person who's gone through what I've been through. Would you be able to share maybe a favorite story or two that would really speak to our listeners, Shannon?
I would love to. And I'm glad that you're asking, because I've even had an update since I've had her in the book. But there's this young woman who I mentioned, I can't remember what her name was that I put in the book. So forgive me. I just won't say her name at all. But she was younger and she was in college, and she was coming to me about her mother who happened to be hit was in an accident, and then I think had a stroke, so had to have 24-hour care, and that was placed on her as a child. And her
mother, I remember this story. I don't remember her name either, but oh my goodness. Yes, keep going.
Yes, and her mother would, you know, say very mean, hateful things to her. And if she didn't take care of her in a certain way, she would call her very degrading names, and you're never good enough, and just emotional abuse. And then, you know, she was able to go away to college, but then she had to come home like every weekend. And she just didn't, I mean, she was so beaten down, just so beaten down. And so I was working with her and through this, and, you know, there were moments where, you know, her father had the ability and the insurance to give her mother the care that she needed. It didn't have to be the daughter. And, you know, I pointed that out. I said, you know, sometimes we have to love from a distance while they can go through their healing process. So like, she clearly has some things that she needs to work through too. You know, set your boundaries. Again, I go through this in the book. There are healthy boundaries for us to set. So she had done all of this. She'd prayed about it, and she had made this agreement with her parents. I mean, worked through it all the way that she needed to. And the most beautiful, beautiful thing, you know, she kept a relationship. It's not like she broke free from her mother, but she just finally said, you can't speak to me this way. You can't, like, I will not come be with you if this is how you're going to treat me, you know, and which is, she had every right to say that, because is her life-given right, you know, to say, don't abuse me. Don't make me feel less than, don't make me feel unworthy. And so she went on to college. She went on actually to go and do some things and like 3 or 4 hours away she lived. And then the pandemic happened. I get a call from her and she said, Shannon, I'm going to have to move home. I need to be able to take care of, you know, during this, I'm going to have to be able to take care of my mom again. And wow. I said, how strong do you feel to do this? She said, oh no, I know that I'm in a good place. She then calls me a week later and tells me how they had this major conversation where her mother said, I'm so sorry for all that I have done in the past. And like, they have this amazing relationship now because she had held so true and strong to her, her two boundaries. Wow. Yes. Yes. And that is called healthy control of your life and doing it right. You know, so that was just such a beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Shane. And that's a great update for me too, since I read the other story. And I am, our listeners know this, I'm a caregiver for my husband who has early onset dementia, and he is not abusive or most of the time not angry, but it's not unusual for that to be a part of this whole dementia experience. And I have watched other caregivers counsel one another, you know, just because someone has dementia doesn't mean they get to treat you in certain ways. And so those have been good lessons for me as well. Boundaries are still important. And I think sometimes it takes us way too long to learn those boundaries. She just wanted to be a good daughter, didn't she? But she went way over the line on her definition of that, I guess you would say.
Right. You know, and she was a little bit stuck because of the word, I'll be honest with you, because, you know, we're supposed to honor our mother and father. And absolutely, we are supposed to honor our mother and father, but our mothers and fathers are also supposed to treat us with dignity and respect. And, you know, it is a two-way street. She didn't dishonor her mother by just leaving and never, you know, coming back. She honored her mother by being able to say, you know, just like you would when you're bringing up a child, you know, we have to be able to give true, positive, healthy discipline in order for them to become good citizens, good Christian citizens in this world. Yes. And in a way, she kind of had to do the reverse for her mom and say, I love you and I want to be here to support you. But the only way I can be here to support you is if I'm treated with the same respect that anybody else is deserved.
And in doing that, God used her to be a part of her mother's healing is what it sounds like. So
amen. Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things you have I know I'm focusing on the writing, but that might be partly because I'm a writer, but at the end of the every chapter, I think it's every chapter. I didn't do a survey, but you have something you call reflection on healing. And that's kind of the place where everyone can take the chapter and sort of personalize it. Sometimes you give, I guess I would say homework, but things for people to do or steps that they can take. And that's where, as you mentioned before, you might say, make sure you discuss this with your counselor or your therapist or whatever it might be. Would you share a little bit more or a little bit about how that part of the book came to be? Why did you decide to put those in there, Shannon?
Well, I personally, like I said, because I have been through so much in my life, I'm in therapy right now for one little aspect. When you're good to yourself and being able to go on a healing journey, you begin to recognize, once you get more, you know, along the way, you begin to recognize specific aspects of your life that can be worked on or be dealt with. And it's always better to have somebody else to be able to maybe give some feedback. And one thing that I was told by a therapist many, many years ago, and I keep hearing it from other therapists, but I've kept it going, is journaling and being able to write out, you know, what you've been through. And so with that aspect, knowing how healing that is to kind of purge and get out, which again goes with my, you know, Ephesians is, you know, let go of those empty arguments and purge them. It's the same thing. And so I wanted to give them specific tools again to work on something. Another aspect is somebody might be very afraid to go into therapy, or they might still have that thought process of, oh, if I go to therapy and if somebody else finds out, then that means that I'm really broken or something's wrong with me. I mean, there's so many sometimes misconceptions of what therapy is, when really it's being able to talk it out and have somebody that's trained to give you the tools that you need on your healing journey. But I wanted to write this in a way that maybe if somebody was at that level, they were very brand new to this, but really knew that they wanted to go on a healing journey and move forward and out of this feeling of despair or frustration and anger, I wanted to give them something that they could actually do just alone and for themselves that they needed to help recognize, you know, what are these lies that I hold on to? What is my truth? There are so many of us survivors of abuse, survivors of whatever trauma, whatever it is that's going on in your life. We really recognize that we are worth the effort. And one question I ask is there in there is, what do you want? And I remember the reason why I asked that is because somebody asked that of me one time. And I can say what you want. I could say what my husband wants. I could say what my kids want. You know, I could say what everybody else wants. And I want to be there to help give them what they want. But when you ask what I wanted, I was speechless. I don't know. And that's not right. That's not right. I mean, we need to be able, the only way we can then be who we need to be for those around us is to be able to know who we are, to love ourselves. I think we all hear that you must love yourself, you know, to know the Lord's love within us, to be able to then move forward and to be that light for others. So unless you're on this healing journey and unless you are truly freeing yourself from all of that that has kept you in the darkness, it's very difficult to be exactly, you know, truly 100% who you could be to those around you.
Wow, there is so much wisdom in those words. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I know you're a speaker. You have a ministry, Hopeful Hearts, and it seemed from your website that you, at least pre-pandemic, did quite a bit of speaking. So I imagine you have people come up to you all the time and identify with one or more parts of your story just because life is traumatic, life is painful. What do you say when that person comes up and maybe they're just brand new to recognize, maybe they just realized the pain that they've probably been in for quite a while, but what are some first steps people can take who are really dealing with trauma or wanting to deal with it?
Absolutely. And I do have many, that's how I even started Hopeful Hearts Ministry, is because I was speaking first to youth programs and trying to talk about my story just to kind of be, you know, educational and preemptive and allowing kids to know that they have a right for these boundaries and to speak and to have a voice. Great. But it was their parents, their chaperones, their ministers, you know, coming up to me and saying, you are telling my story and I've never told anybody in all of my life. Or, I had a woman that was 80 that had never spoken of the abuse by her stepfather when she was 15. And so when I do hear these things, first and foremost, I say, I'm so sorry. Because I remember that's one thing that when somebody first said that to me, it broke me in the sense of somebody understands, you know, I'm not alone. Sure. Somebody's hearing me. Mm-hmm. And so first and foremost, I'm so sorry for what you have been through. I'm speaking out to anybody listening to this truly. And then secondly is, you know, you're not alone. And this is something that, you know, I can work with you. I try to help people think about who is a close person in their life that they feel confident and comfortable to be able to talk about, you know, what's been going on or what happened in the past. Even if it's, you know, your pastor, a minister, somebody close to you in that regard, or a family member. And this is another important aspect. Don't ever feel like you have to share those hoarded details of what's been happening. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people refrain from ever talking about it because they really don't want to press into those moments. And I don't believe in that either, because I feel like it just re-traumatizes you when you have to go through that. I think you can definitely get on this healing journey with that, with just simply acknowledging. And sometimes that is the hardest part, is to acknowledge this happened to me. And I need help, and I need, and that's honestly, those are the first steps, is acknowledging it and just saying, I need help. And so that is, again, in talking to somebody close to you or getting that therapist and starting to work with it. But that's what we do here at Hopeful Hearts as well. We're one-to-one peer support, and we're kind of that first step for you to encourage you if you need that encouragement to get into therapy and to move forward.
Have you seen an increase in people reaching out to you through this time of the pandemic and all the associated trauma that's going on?
We definitely during the shutdown, I did have an increase of those that needed more time, and I had more calls coming in to talk, and they were going and living in abusive situations at home. And it was a very difficult time. And I will say, though, that thankfully it has kind of gotten back to what we normally receive at this point. Mm-hmm. But we have come into a collaboration with so many other wonderful nonprofits that are helping in various aspects of trauma or abuse. And so we're trying to update our resource page so that we can definitely give links to those, you know, places as well, you know, places that might be near to your home. I would like to see all of it eradicated, of course, but unfortunately, it is something that, you know, isn't talked about enough, or it's, you know, people are afraid. They're afraid to talk about it because it's so ugly and dirty, and nobody wants to talk about any kind of abuse, you know?
That's exactly right. Well, I think I started this podcast by saying, you know, this is not a topic these are not topics people particularly want to look at, but that's mm-hmm. part of the problem. And so we are praying that this podcast is going to be a part of raising awareness and helping move people into healing, at least into taking, as you shared, some of those very, very first steps. Another step that we both know is important, and I know you're as much a believer in this as I am, is the power of prayer. And I would love it, before we close, Shannon, if you could just take time to pray for our listeners.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Blessed Father, I'm grateful for this opportunity that we've had today to come to you and to be able to discuss something that is very vulnerable and very difficult for so many of your children. I pray for all the listeners out there that this is might have touched a very tender spot in their life, and maybe it's moving some emotions. And Lord, I ask that you personally just press into that moment with them, allow the Holy Spirit to be with them and to cover them in a blanket of your peace, and allow them to know without any doubt and any reservation that you have them, that you are there with them and supporting them, and that in any situation that they have ever lived through or gone through, that you have always been with them, supporting them and protecting their ability to love. And this is your call for them, is to come forward, because they deserve the healing. They deserve this grace and mercy. Yes. To be able to break free from the chains that often leave us so bound to this, the darkness and the lies that of these different situations that have kept us there. So Lord, I ask that you guide and direct them. And if they're looking for therapists, they've never been to therapy, they've never even spoken about any of this in their past, please open those doors for them. Allow them to feel that sign of you, just to know that this is who they should speak to or talk to or feel, you know, comfortable coming to, whether it's a family member or somebody within their church. Because you have equipped so many with your guidance and direction. And last and most importantly, I ask, Lord, that you send a special blessing upon all of our families, upon all of our children, especially yes, our young children. Please protect them mentally, physically, emotionally, keeping them well and safe, and yes, allow them to know their boundaries and know their worth, know their dignity, and know, most importantly, the love that you have for them. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shannon. I'm so grateful for this time that we've had, and I truly appreciate the way you shared not just your book, but your heart, your love for God, and your concern and care for our listeners and for all families. That just blesses me, and I know it will be a blessing to our listeners.
Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. And listeners, we always appreciate you and the fact that you gave your time to us. So thank you. And we encourage you to watch for more episodes on the Family Matters series on Charisma News.